Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Cheryl Hardy, FAA Production Studios Public Relations and National FAST Team Representative of the Year from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Welcome to Managing Safety. This is Cheryl Hardy with the FAA Production Studios, and Managing Safety is a joint effort between the FAA and the National Aviation Safety Foundation. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, our shows air on the FAAProductionStudios.com website, and you'll see the Managing Safety link right on the homepage, or you can tune into iTunes. As well, we broadcast four times daily on Flightline Radio, so make sure you tune in regularly. You don't want to miss a program. Now, today's show, we're coming live from the FAA Production Studios, and we have a very special program going on in the studio today. It is the Balloon Safety Seminar, and Mr. Troy Bradley joins me today. He's the president of the Balloon Federation of America. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm excellent. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I got to tell you, you've got a truly great program going on in the studio today.
Yeah, I've been blown away by the facilities here at the production studios, and then also the number of speakers that we've had come together for this safety seminar has been outstanding. Don Edwards, who's been helping the ballooning end of this for years, said that it may be the best seminar that they've been able to put together for the balloonists so far. And I know that we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 250 online viewers, as well as over 100 people in the audience. So great turnout. I'm thrilled with the day as it's gone.
And you know, you hit on something key there, our online viewers. Mm-hmm. We do broadcast these programs live online for your people to tune into and mm-hmm. be able to register for. Now, tell us why today's program is important.
Well, it's very important because, you know, the safety aspect of any form of aviation is critical to making sure that we prevent all the accidents we possibly can. And our insurance companies in the ballooning industry actually give us a discount to come to these seminars. That's how beneficial they feel they are, and it's a substantial discount if you attend a seminar. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people in parts of the country that may not have the access to the safety seminars, weather-wise or just distance-wise from where they'd have to travel. The cost of the expense of traveling from upstate Maine to maybe the closest ones in Pennsylvania.
Sure.
It'd be very difficult. So with this program, they're able to stay at home, you know, stay in their pajamas, have the fireplace going, and watch online and still get the same benefits. So it's a tremendous program, and I'm so glad that we're involved with it.
It is. Now, I understand as well that if you're at home, you can also email in and get some questions in for your speakers.
You can. You can either email or text in questions, and so even the participation when you're removed is still there, so you don't feel like you're just sitting there watching a TV show, that you can actually interact with this program as it goes.
That's fantastic. Now tell me a little bit about the Balloon Federation of America, if you can take us kind of back to some of its
sure.
roots and beginnings.
The Balloon Federation of America is actually celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, so
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a big year for us. It's a federation that's for and about balloonists, and it's a strictly volunteer organization, other than a couple of employees that we have, one to run the office and one that publishes our magazine, our editor. Other than that, it's all volunteers, all balloon enthusiasts, and we have a board of directors, which we're voted on from each of the regions to come onto the board, and then the board decides on the officers, and somehow I got stuck with the presidency this year.
But you know, when you're done with your year as the president, I know you will find it a valuable and rewarding experience.
Oh, no, it's been a wonderful experience, and ballooning has been my whole life, and it's given me so much, and to me, this is just a position that I can give back to all the balloonists and the sport as I know it.
That's key. That's absolutely key, and I think that's fantastic
yeah.
because we all, I think, enjoy giving back as volunteers.
Yes.
So, and that's a wonderful thing, and I know the Balloon Federation would agree with that, I am sure, without a doubt. So tell me a little bit more about the organization. How many members strong are you?
Right now we're right around 2,300 members.
That's fantastic.
It's a good number, but it's down from our highs back in the 90s. Just like any sort of general aviation, we're seeing a decline in the numbers.
Sure.
And, you know, when the economy, people, there's places where they're going to cut, and one of those things is memberships and organizations, even though I think we're a very key component to the sport of ballooning, they can do without. And so our goal at the BFA is to make it an organization that's worthy of belonging to and making you want to be part of that and not lose those members out there. So I think that we have, like I said, around 2,300 members right now. We have everything from pilot members to corporate members, so anybody's company can be a sponsor or a member as well. And then we have junior balloonists trying to involve the younger generation to come into ballooning. And we have crew memberships so that people that aren't necessarily a pilot but still want to be involved in the organization have the ability to do so at a lesser price. And also they have their own separate newsletter that goes out so that they can actually have some crew input as well, not just the piloting end of things.
What other seminars do you do throughout the year?
The seminars we put on, we actually sanction seminars across the country. And we have a program with our sanction manager, Tim Gale. He's out of the northwest part of the country. And Tim actually looks at the criteria. Any group of balloonists can put together a seminar. They have to meet certain criteria and have certain core subjects within that seminar to meet our sanctioning process. But they're open as to how those things can be presented. So you don't have to make necessarily the FARs a real dry situation or, you know, whatever you're speaking about. But we try to get as much knowledge into people's heads as we can in an 8-hour period. But we sanction everywhere from my next seminar is going to be in Oregon. So I'm going okay. Coast to coast here. So Florida this week, and in 2 weeks I'll be up in Oregon speaking. We have a great seminar that's put on by the Ohio Balloonists, another one up in Wisconsin, Colorado. So there's seminars across the country that the BFA sanctions, but it's all the local balloon clubs that put these things together.
Fantastic. And can I make the assumption that all those seminars are listed on your website?
We do have the seminars listed on the website, and I'm not sure how up-to-date it is at okay. this point, because there again, it's a volunteer position on updating a
sure.
lot of that stuff, so I'm not sure,
sure.
where we stand right now, but you can go and find out where the seminars and dates and times will be.
But we do want to make sure
mm-hmm.
that we drive members
yes.
and non-members
oh, yes.
alike to
exactly.
your website
exactly.
to make sure that they keep abreast of all this great information, because I know you distribute a tremendous amount of information
we do.
The association.
Yeah, and the website's incredible. We've mm-hmm. got a very nice website, and we're trying to improve it on it all the time, and we're even trying to do some things now with maybe some instructional videos and things like that. So we're even trying to bump it up a little bit more to where it's a website that drives not only balloonists but wannabe balloonists, you know, anybody that's interested in the sport. I think we're going to see a real increase on the hits to our website by some of the improvements we're making here in the near future.
Great. Now, I know you've got a national convention coming up. Tell me a little bit about what to expect.
We do, since it's the 50th year of the BFA. We host national conventions periodically. The last one was actually 3 years ago in Louisville, Kentucky. And we had about 500 participants in that convention, so it was a very good turnout.
Nice.
Something that's very difficult to do on an annual or even a biennial basis. So we kind of spread them out. And our number is kind of looking at more like a 5-year period in between the conventions to bring everybody together. But being the 50th anniversary, we thought it was appropriate to have one this year as well. And we're going to Des Moines, Iowa, which is actually just south of Des Moines, is a small community called Indianola, Iowa, and it's where we hosted our national championships for 19 years, and it's also where we house our offices for the Balloon Federation of America. We're incorporated in the state of Iowa, and we also have a national ballooning museum there. So it's bringing a lot of people together into the Iowa area, and most of them have probably been there to Indianola, but a lot of them it'll be their first experience, and so they're, you know, excited to go see the museum. And the number of speakers that we have is phenomenal. Our keynote speaker is going to be from Florida here, Joe Kittinger, who
yes.
is one of the most famous aviators, not in just the ballooning community, but
That's
in
right.
general.
Absolutely.
And so one of the nicest guys in the world, and coming to participate in the convention is really drawing a lot of people. And right now we have people coming from 34 different states in Canada that are already registered for the convention. So, yeah, it's going to be a great event and kind of a coming home week for a lot of the older balloonists and stuff that did participate in a lot of the early national championships in Iowa. So we have national champions, world champions, record holders, just a whole host of different people that it's going to be a great get-together.
That sounds fantastic. Now, you know, those kind of numbers for convention attendance are really great because that's more than 20% of your membership.
That's right.
Those are great numbers for any organization or association for attendance. Do you have any way for them to view online, or will you be able to offer that?
We're not doing any online stuff, and we're right now talking about, you know, the recording of it because I think it's going to be an historical event, truly. Some of these people that are coming, maybe the last convention that they're able to come to, and from a historical perspective, we want to get all their words and their stories, and so we are looking into at least recording it, and hopefully we can make some of that available. But right now, we don't have any intention of doing it online or the capacity to do it online, I guess.
But you will have some of it available for after the fact, and that's good as well because you know that. For the whatever reason that you can't attend, you know, in person, it's great to be able to have some of that information.
Exactly.
So that'll be super. Tell me a little bit about BFA hosting the 2012 World Hot Air Balloon Championships. That's big news.
That's big news. That's real big news. Battle Creek, this will be, I believe, the third time for hosting the World Championships. Through the progression of all the organizations, of course, starting with the FAI, the Fédération Aéronautique Internationale, the ballooning arm of that is the CIA, and they go through and they look at you know, bids for each of the host countries, and they try to spread it around the world as much as possible. It's a huge event to try to undertake, very expensive to try to bring in all the balloons from around the world. And Battle Creek, the first time they hosted it was in 1981. And they put in a bid, and we only have the hot air championships every 2 years. So the CIA grants the World Gas Championships for 1 year, and then on the next year's, it's the World Hot Air Championships. So the last ones were in Austria and Hungary, and we actually have the current world champion is a U.S. pilot, member of the BFA, Johnny Petrin. And so we're very proud of Johnny, and flying on our own home turf is really an advantage to us also, because Battle Creek, not only have they hosted, this will be the third or fourth national or world championships, they've hosted the nationals up there, they've held the team nationals, they've done so many different events, and they've had a continuous event going on there at least since 81 of some sort of competition. And so a lot of our top-notch competitors go there and compete every year as it is. So it's kind of, you know, going to their own backyard. They know how the winds are there. They know how to, you know, fly the area. And I think we have an outstanding U.S. team and have a very good chance of retaining that title.
We're going to take a break for just a moment, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Hot Air Balloon Championship.
Okay.
I have a few more questions for you.
All right. Thanks.
So stay tuned.
Now, let's rejoin Cheryl Hardy and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
This is Cheryl Hardy with the FAA Production Studios and Managing Safety, and we're back with you. And we're with Troy Bradley, President of the Balloon Federation of America, here in the studio today. And we were, just before the break, we were talking about the Hot Air Balloon Championships getting ready to be held in Battle Creek, and BFA is hosting the event. Can you give me an idea how many balloons you're going to expect at the event this year?
Well, it'll actually be in 2012.
Excuse me, 2012.
That's when we'll be hosting the Worlds. However, in 2011, we also will be hosting the pre-Worlds, because a lot of these pilots from around the world want to come in and see the area they're going to be flying if they're not familiar with it. And so that one of the requirements is that we host a pre-Worlds also. And we're not necessarily giving as much to the pilots to come, but it gives them the opportunity to at least come fly. And so the pre-Worlds will be held this year in conjunction with our U.S. National Championships.
Fantastic.
So it gives international pilots the opportunity to come and see the area. It gives our U.S. pilots the nationals there, so we're going to have, you know, another practice run basically for them also. So that'll be this year. This summer will be the 2000 or the pre-Worlds, and then 2012 is when we'll actually be hosting the Worlds in Battle Creek.
And what type of numbers do you expect, do you think?
I'm guessing we're going to end up with somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 to 100 competitors.
That's great.
Yes, it'll be a very big turnout. I truly believe the pilots love to come to the U.S. and fly. It's always an adventure for them. And we have, I think, not only some of the top competitors, I think we have some of the best event organizers and directors also. So the tasks that they'll be asked to fly are by top-notch people as far as, you know, calling the tasks and making it challenging for the pilots, but also a fair competition. And this 2012, our event director is going to be a guy named David Levin out of Colorado, and David is the past national champion and hot air national and world champion for hot air balloons, and he's also been the past national and world champion for gas balloons, and he's won the Gordon Bennett, which is our most prestigious gas event. So he's a phenomenal competitor. He's gotten out of the competition over the last 5 to 10 years and focused more on the running the events. And so David does a tremendous job, and look forward to him calling the tasks, and I know everyone will be wanting to come and fly there.
For those of us that are not balloonists, how are the teams selected? What happens to it, put a team together?
It varies from country to country on the selection process, because, I mean, you'll have some competitors that come from countries that don't have a lot of competition, so pretty much it's just give them an invitation and they'll send a couple of teams. Maybe they won't do so well. One of the real exciting things that's happening right now, just about 2 weeks ago, I got a call from some pilots down in Mexico, and they're excited about Battle Creek hosting the Worlds, and they want to compete, and they've never competed on a world-class level like that. And so they also wanted to have our support in helping organize and run the first Mexican national championships. And so some of our BFA people are going down to Mexico next month, and they're actually going to be organizing the first Mexican national championship so that they can select a couple teams to come to the world. So
you're going to have international outreach exposure. That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. It's really exciting, and there's a lot of stuff going on down in Mexico right now. And, you know, the Canadian pilots, all the close countries will be real easy to get to come and involve. But, like, Japan has a lot of competitors. They have very fierce competitors, big competitions over there. So it's difficult if you're a Japanese pilot to try to qualify to come to the Worlds. But if you're, you know, down in Lithuania or something, there's only a couple of people. So each country has their own way of selecting the teams, and we don't dictate how they do that. That's with each of their own national aero clubs.
I see. Now tell me, what type of events are going to happen at the World Championships?
Not any, but most balloon competitions are an accuracy type event. It's like throwing darts. Since our only means of steering a balloon is by finding different winds at different elevations, and so we use that to steer into a target, and the target may be placed at the field. In Battle Creek, we actually use an airport as the main area, and so it might be that they call a task where the pilots have to go out, pick their own launch site based upon those winds, fly back into the field, drop their marker on a target, and then on that marker maybe even have another task that they're going to do called a pilot-declared goal fly-on task, where they have to go and fly to their own target that they chose as well. So it makes them think, you know, it's a mental thing as well as just flying the balloon as well. And you'd be amazed at the accuracy. I mean, at the World Championships, if we were to have 100 competitors fly into the airport, probably over half will be within 25 feet of the center of that target.
That's amazing.
It's
incredible. Now, let me ask you this. Are they taking off from a target and returning to the same target, or are they taking off from another location
from a different location, because there's not really a way to go back unless there's winds at different altitudes to bring you back. So you're taking off, and it's one continuous flight, and typically you'll have anywhere from 1 to 4 tasks within that flight. And so the pilots are dropping markers on several targets, and it may not be a field, it may be an intersection that they've called as a target or something like that, that's further downwind. But through that, it's a week-long event, and it's a cumulative total of your scores through that. So a good national or world championship may have anywhere from 8 tasks to 20-25 tasks. That wouldn't be unreasonable up in Battle Creek to get that many in. So it really allows the top pilots to climb through the week, and you see who's the top-notch guys by the consistency.
Now, this is really great stuff, and it really fascinates me too, Troy, because, you know, I'm a pilot. Okay, so I understand winds and conditions and things like that, but this is really an art form. It's a skill.
It's an amazing skill, and some of these pilots, like I said, when you get to that world-class level, it's absolutely incredible to watch these balloons flying into that field. And we, over the last several years, have really been developing new balloons even to accommodate the competitors more than just the normal sport pilot. in that they have more elongated shapes, so it's more like a football rather than kind of the balloon shape that most people are used to seeing. And what that allows the pilot to do is to ascend or descend much quicker. And so if they have a wind, you know, they have to climb to 3,000 feet, they can get up there quicker, and if they have to get back down to the ground to try to drop their marker, they can do that very, very rapidly, whereas, you know, you might drift past the target in a standard shape balloon. So it's become a real art and a whole different area of ballooning that most people aren't even familiar with.
Oh, superb weather skills as well.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's really critical. I mean, yeah. You know, those of us that fly check the winds, mm-hmm. and we know when we're going to fly, and we can fly, we know when we've got a headwind, yeah. and we're checking crosswinds and all those yeah. good things. But you guys are actually going up, and your wind directions can change 50 feet,
yep.
you know, at 100
yeah.
feet, and you're using that and finding those layers.
Yeah, there's a real micrometeorology to the pilots that are out there doing this, and not only from when they leave the task briefing, you know, when they leave the briefing to go fly the task, they're not only depending upon the data that the event organizers provided them, they're also going out and sending up their own little, you know, helium balloons to check the winds and taking, you know, compass readings on it and stuff. And while they're in the air, their crew is also radioing back to them, you know, hey, we're at the target and this row of trees is actually creating the wind to turn a little bit more to the left mm-hmm. or whatever. And so they're getting information fed to them throughout the flight from their crew also.
Tell me a little bit about your ballooning magazine. It's an excellent magazine.
We have an outstanding magazine. Glenn Moyer is the editor. He's been in that position for close to 10 years now, I would guess. And Glenn puts out a beautiful publication. Most of the articles are either written by Glenn, a few in there, but we have a whole bunch of different people in the ballooning community that contribute to it on a monthly or bi-monthly basis. It's put out 6 times a year. And covering everything from, you know, ballooning events to safety issues, pretty pictures because balloons are beautiful, you know. I mean, so we have a whole bunch of stuff in there that's just, it's a great read, and I know all of our members look forward to receiving that every other month because I can't put it down once it comes in the mail.
Is it available only to association members?
No, you can actually call the BFA, and you could buy copies if you wanted to buy a copy. They would, you know, call our office, and they could sell you a copy also. But
so copy by copy or subscription?
Yeah, it's a copy by copy.
Okay.
If there was a certain issue, I know that, you know, if I appear in something, my mom wants to have copies, I can
there
get more
go.
Copies and things like that. But we really encourage the full membership because that's a benefit of the membership.
Absolutely.
So that's one that we don't really promote or try to sell copies outside of that
okay.
on newsstands or anything like that.
It's a great reason to be a member of
it
this
is.
Organization,
it's,
though.
Yes, correct.
Timely and current up-to-date information, and,
yes.
and it's a really outstanding publication. Let's talk about youth programs.
Okay. We do have a junior balloonist program, which encourages young people to get involved with the ballooning, and I think even more so the non-voting crew membership, which is a much reduced rate, and it allows you to get one copy of the magazine, and then but there's also a newsletter that goes out, because most people that are younger are going to start as crew members.
Okay.
And so it's a great way for them to get involved in the ballooning and come in and learn about it, but we really encourage people going from, you know, that crew member to becoming a pilot also. And so we put on 2 balloon camps annually. They're 5 days that they run the camps, and it's kids anywhere from, I think you have to be 14 to get into it, 14 to 18 or something. And it allows them to come in and learn from other balloonists. The pilots are volunteering their time to come in and teach them about, you know, the competition, the reading the winds, the manufacture of balloons, anything that's associated with balloons. They really get totally engrossed in the whole process and history of it. And it's a great program that has produced a number of pilots over the years that have really stuck with it. So we're very, very happy with the balloon camps.
That's great. Does it foster mentorship?
It does.
Okay.
And I think, you know, the hardest part, just like with any other part of general aviation, is being able to continue to keep them interested after
Absolutely.
That point, because it's so expensive as a hobby, and trying to, you know, find ways that they can work together, or, you know, building balloons or doing other things.
Sure.
You know, how do they stay involved? And so that's one of my biggest goals as the BFA president, is how do we keep those 20-somethings, you know, once
right.
you've passed that junior balloonist and the balloon camp age, how do we keep you interested and keep going with it? Because it's such a beautiful sport, and want to share it with as many people as possible.
That it is. I agree wholeheartedly. Tell me a little bit about the Balloon Federation of America Awards.
I believe that the BFA, just like any aerosport any arm of the National Aeronautic Association, a big part of our responsibility is recognizing people for their achievements and publicly letting people know what's happening. So we have a whole number of awards. We have the Board of Directors every year has director awards. So for each region, they can pick somebody in their region. It doesn't even have to be in their region, just somebody that they feel is given back to the BFA and to the ballooning community as a whole. And trying to recognize them that way. I also give out a President's Award as well. And then we have the highest award that you can win through the BFA is called the Shields-Trauger Award, and that's for, you know, outstanding performance in a flight or contribution over a lifetime, things like that. And this year I'm actually pleased to announce that it's going to be Colonel Joe, and coming up to
wonderful.
Coming up to Iowa, we will present the Shields-Trauger to him up there. And then also the first time that we've ever presented it to a meteorologist, a guy named Lou Balonis, who helped Steve Fawcett, and he's helped me on several records as well. And really, because the balloon is so susceptible to the weather, sure, more so than any other aircraft, when you do records or long flights and stuff, the meteorologist is the key to it. You have to have somebody that really understands that and keeps you out of trouble, keeps you out of the thunderstorms, keeps you out of the high winds for landing and stuff.
Absolutely.
And Lou Balonis was put up and actually is receiving that award this year as well. So we also have a Hall of Fame housed at the museum up in Indianola. So we have the Hall of Fame, and that's really a lifetime contribution kind of thing. And we have about 20 members that have been inducted so far. And this year we're inducting Ben Abruzzo and Maxie Anderson, who were the first to cross the Atlantic by balloon back in 1978, and also another gentleman, Dewey Reinhardt, who was attempting to be the first and had a failed attempt prior to their crossing just a few months prior to that. So so we're excited that we're getting to recognize, you know, the people and the historical figures in the sport.
That's wonderful. Now, how are nominations made for those type of awards?
The nominations are actually made by any member. They can go in, and we have a criteria on the website. So they can go in and read the criteria and see if they know someone that meets that and submit an application, and that goes to our awards chair, Orv Olivier up in South Dakota. He reviews it, then he also forwards it to the board. The Shields-Trauger is actually voted on by the board and decided if that's you know who we want. And we have great candidates year after year. There's so many people doing things for the sport, and you always hate to see somebody not get voted in, because I know that all these people do so much for it.
Well, you know, I could go on for probably another half hour with you easy today.
Thank
because,
you.
You know, the Balloon Federation is such a great organization, and there's so much that it has to offer and benefit. So for those of you listening who may not be members of the organization, please go to the website and take a look, and I encourage you to consider membership to this organization, because it's truly going to be rewarding in many aspects, educational and to balloonists that are venturing into the activity. So let's support this program without a doubt. Can you give me any last words that you'd like to give to our listening audience?
No, other than I agree with you that anybody that's a balloonist or a wannabe balloonist should be a part of this organization, because it's it really is what unites us as a voice and helps in so many ways to have that united front, but also just the camaraderie of being part of a national organization like that. And I think all of our members that are members are very proud to be so.
Well, I certainly appreciate you all being with us here at the studio today. It was a great program. We were very proud to help you host it today. Your speakers and the program was second to none. And I think all your members are going to enjoy it greatly. So on behalf of the FAA Production Studios, I would like to thank you for being here. This is Cheryl Hardy with Managing Safety. Remember to tune into the FAA Production Studios website to listen to this program. You'll also be able to catch it on Flightline Radio. We broadcast four times daily. And don't forget, you can take us with you on iTunes. So download us and make sure you check frequently and download our programs. You can have a host of programs and array of topics that you can take with you. So for Cheryl Hardy and the FAA Production Studios, listen in next time.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.